Hoi and welcome to episode 3 of the Dutch and Scots Sportscast. Today we are back with our episode on Dutch and Scottish football. And today we'll be delving in deeper with the latest thing that happened in the leagues and some more of other action.
Yeah, we'll be taking more of a look at the leagues, the players that are playing abroad, some of the transfers involving our players playing in our nations, how our clubs are getting on in Europe, and how our national team is going, which is always a joyous occasion as a Scottish football fan.
Of course. We hope you enjoy this third episode of our podcast.
Dykes has left them, along with centre-back Ricky Lamy, who left them too. Big players for them, so hopefully.
Marlon, and the goal! Yeah, I'll do it!
With a striker who's going for fun at the minute in Kevin Nisbet. So Hibs are definitely the underdogs, the dark horses in this competition. The most notable match from the weekend there was by far and large the Hibs-Rangers match, where it ended in a 2-2 draw, much to Rangers' despair. Rangers were hoping to extend their lead at the top, having Celtic also beaten St. Johnstone, Livingston this weekend. They were hoping to maintain.
It's the first goals they've conceded, right?
Yeah. First in 8 games, that's the first time they conceded, and they conceded twice. Hibs just, they're just looking good. Their manager's very good. They have Jack Ross as a manager, who I remember when he was manager of St. Mirren, who the team I hate the most as a Morton fan. However, I have to admit, through gritted teeth, he's a fantastic manager, and Hibs are very smart for getting him in.
Yeah.
Hibs only had 30% of possession. They still managed to get a draw. Yeah, 30% possession. They still managed to hold on for a draw. Equalising in the 71st minute. So that was the biggest kind of result from the weekend, because Rangers were obviously unbeaten in 7. Mm-hmm. They hadn't drawn or lost a game, they hadn't dropped any points whatsoever. Celtic had drawn a game. Rangers are still ahead of them, but it would have been a chance for them to pull away from Hibs, who are also still hot on their tail. Beyond that, notable results include Motherwell beating Aberdeen 3-0. Motherwell had a poor start to the season. However, Aberdeen were notably without a player who we'll talk about a bit more later, which was probably their star player, Scott McKenna. But that was a bit of a shock to everyone. 3 goals, I believe all 3 were in the half as well. They went from the 4th minute to the 23rd minute, 3 goals. So that was a bit of a shock. Beyond that, most of the results were, as you would expect, Dundee United beating St Mirren 2-1, Kilmarnock beating Hamilton 2-1, Ross County beating St Johnstone 1-0, and Celtic beating Livingston 3-2, which was a good showing from bottom of the table, Livingston, who managed to do a decent job against Celtic. Julian Serrano for Livingston scored an absolute belt in the 78th minute. And Albin Ayeti scored yet another fantastic goal. He's really coming on in Scotland, because they're in a poor spell at West Ham before this.
True.
But no other leagues are going on in Scotland at the minute. That's it. There was a few friendlies, but nothing really notable to discuss. Regarding the friendlies, probably the biggest notable one to discuss would be Raith Rovers versus Falkirk, which ended in 6-2 to Falkirk, who are the league below Raith Rovers.
All right.
They are also bitter rivals, and Falkirk playing League One. Raith Rovers won League One last season and are now playing the Championship. There's a bit of bad blood between them, because when COVID happened and the next relegations and promotions would still happen, it was goal difference, I believe, that differed between Falkirk and Raith got promoted. So, bit of revenge for Falkirk, bit of a kick in the teeth for Raith, they're preparing for the first season of the Championship in a good 5 years. So,
well, good on them. Good preparation.
Yeah, exactly. The Netherlands now.
Linking to a bad pre-season, we can go to the team that's currently top of the Eredivisie, which is SC Heerenveen, a team that you probably didn't expect to be first of the Eredivisie. The thing that I was going for was that Heerenveen lost all of their games in preseason, literally all of them, and now they find themselves top of the Eredivisie. Well, there's only been two games played, but goal difference counts in the Netherlands, and they're top currently because they won 3-0 the first game and 3-1 last weekend away from home at Fortuna Sittard. Currently in second place we find Ajax, who are there with 6 points and have a similar goal difference to Heerenveen, but Heerenveen have just scored one more goal, which puts them above them. Ajax played RKC Waalwijk on the weekend, beat them quite routinely 3-0. It seemed as they were playing on like autopilot. They didn't really have to put in all their effort. It was quite a routine victory, a very easy victory for Ajax at home. Then we find PSV Eindhoven, who are also on 6 points, winning two games. Last week we talked about goalkeeping howler from Yvonne Mvogo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it happened again.
Oh no.
They won 2-1 at home to FC Emmen, but it was a last-minute header in the 94th minute by Maxi Romero that secured the 3 points at home in Eindhoven against FC Emmen, which are words you wouldn't expect to speak. Yvonne Mvogo got a ball back from his left back, Philip Max, who recently signed from FC Augsburg this summer.
I've seen that. Pretty good signing.
He's been playing very well. He got the 2 assists in this game. So he's been proving himself, but he played the ball back on Yvonne Mvogo. It was a little bouncy, but nothing too major. I guess what happened.
What?
He tried to control the ball, but it kind of slipped over his foot and rolled into the net.
Ah.
And that was the 1-1, the equalizer for FC Emmen. And like, for this guy, he played a good game. He had some good saves, and then something like this happens. And last week, he made an absolute howler again, and he is supposed to be the new coach, once a footballing goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And two of his mistakes, two of the goals PSV have conceded, the only two they have conceded have come from his mistakes, with the ball on his feet.
Would you rather had kept
Zoet,
yeah.
Like in the case of Zoet, he deserved a transfer. He's been at PSV for such a long time, and he got his farewell in a good manner. Would have preferred him over this guy, maybe. And then we had another good goalkeeper, Lars Unnerstal. He's probably one of the best goalkeepers, like actual goalkeepers, in the league. But he cannot play football. And that was the problem. That's why they got a new goalkeeper in.
Is Unnerstal still there?
Yeah, he's the second goalkeeper now.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and then we'll see what happens. But in fourth place, we find Vitesse, who had their entire technical staff in quarantine because of COVID cases. And somehow it didn't spread to the players because they were all negative. They did, however, managed to beat, I think it was, who did they play at home? Sparta Rotterdam. 2-0, routine victory. It was their special airborne game. Every year they commemorate Market Garden, which is the operation that was dropping the British soldiers on the bridges in the Netherlands. And Arnhem is a city which had one of these strategic bridges. And every year in September, they have a game that is dedicated to Market Garden and the people that gave their life there. And they won that game, 2-0.
I believe we not have a Vitesse game just before the Market Garden game.
Yeah, we were. Was it August still?
I think it was late August. Yeah, against FC Viterbo, the Romanian team.
Yeah, in the Europa League. Yeah, so like
I remember them talking about the Market Garden game.
Yeah, it's always a big thing, and mid September it happens. And right now it was less big because there's less people in the crowd. But
Of course.
yeah, another interesting game was Feyenoord FC Twente, which finished 1-1. FC Twente scoring in one of the first minutes. One of the main talking points was that there were 13,000 people in the stadium.
13,000.
Yes, and the government kind of cracked down on it. They were unhappy, and our prime minister, when asked, literally said that the people in the stadium just have to sit down and shut up and shut their faces.
Okay.
And it was quite big, let's say that.
We had a test event which had 300 people, and they're not even doing any more of them. Never mind 13,000 people.
No, here it's like 33% of the stadium can be filled, and some teams choose to do less. And Feyenoord chose to do this 33%, and the people were just way too close. And at one point, it's impossible to control. But yeah, there's going to be repercussions for Feyenoord nonetheless. Yeah, the league below, the Kitchen Champions League, as I will call it from now on. The game days are spread over like 5 days, so it's very difficult to keep track. But there's only one team that's currently on 4 wins out of 4 games. That's NAC Breda, the team we mentioned last time. And following NAC on second place is also promotion places Almere City FC with 10 points. And they are the only two teams that haven't lost any games yet. And then the teams that follow, the only teams that haven't won a game yet are Top Os in 19th and FC Dordrecht in 20th. But they're expected to be down there. But for now, yeah, De Graafschap, one of the favorites. 3 games, 6 points. And Cambuur, 4 games, 7 points. So it'll be tight, and one of these teams will likely get promoted at the end of the season.
NAC Breda's got a big stadium for that division, don't they?
Yeah, they have about 20,000 people capacity stadium, but then also Roda JC, there's like 20,000 people that can come there. De Graafschap, for example, it's like 15,000. NEC Nijmegen, who are in 10th now, it's like 15,000 as well. These are, oh, Go Ahead Eagles, 13th as well. That's a similar size. They're all quite historic clubs in the Netherlands and who have been at higher levels for most of their history, find themselves here now, unfortunately for them.
Who's going to the final? Who are going to the final, Sats? That's all that matters.
Van Dijk, and oh, he scored! Virgil van Dijk for Liverpool!
And in this section, we'll look at some of the players playing their trade in foreign countries. And today I'll start with naming three Dutch players. And for this, I wanted to do something interesting, and so I chose three Dutch players playing in Scotland. And surprisingly, there's I mean, a few, not as much as I expected there to be. So the first one I wanted to start off with is Jeremy Frimpong, probably the most well-known one currently. Playing for Celtic, coming from the Manchester City Youth Academy, and from what I know, he's already garnered quite a favorable reputation with the supporters.
Oh yeah, he's one of my fans' favorite. He's a brilliant player.
I mean, I really like him as a character as well. I've seen some interviews with him. He seems like a very fun guy. He's played 27 games for the first team now, scored 3 goals, 4 assists, and before that, he was at the Manchester City Youth Academy. Another player who was very interesting to me and who I knew about but had no idea that he was in Scotland, is Sherwin Seedorf. Does the name ring a bell? Yeah, he's at Motherwell right now. And I think he recently went to Motherwell last year, I believe. And currently he's playing their European qualifiers with them. Played 35 games now for the first team. 3 goals, 2 assists.
He played against my beloved Morton in the Betfred Cup last year, and he was incredible. They ripped us apart. We lost like 4-0, but he was a very notable performer for them.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the name, and I was actually quite I didn't even know he was at Motherwell, but he's been there for over a year now, so I was quite confused. But then another player who might be familiar to you now as well is Rabin Omar. He signed for Morton, which you notified me about over a month ago, probably.
Yeah, he signed just after kind of the furlough scheme had ended over up here after the COVID thing.
Yeah,
we announced him.
He's a Dutch citizen with Iraqi double citizenship. He signed a contract until the end of the year. And he was previously playing at Elgin City and an Athletic and in the Thistle Youth Academy before that. Played 108 games in League 2. He has never played above League 2 level in Scotland. So he's going to have to show himself in the Championship.
Things to know about that, however, he's only 22, I believe, which is quite young. The games under your belt at 22 is really good.
Yeah, I just turned 23 in July.
Also, to my understanding through interviews and stuff, the only reason he hasn't kind of made the step up to full-time football yet was because he was completing his degree.
True.
So, apparently, from all that I've heard, he is more than ready for premiership, for like professional football.
Let's hope.
I hope. I mean, obviously, I really hope it does kick on.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait and see. We have to wait until October, unfortunately. But, who are your players playing abroad?
So, last time I neglected the players playing in England, so I'm going to mention a few of them and one slightly more obscure one. So, I'm going to firstly talk about Lee Cooper, who is lead centre back. He played this week, didn't play the week before through an injury. But he's very good. By all accounts, in the Championship last year, he was fantastic for them. One of the many reasons for the promotion. And this is his first season in the Premiership of his career. I really hope he kicks on. I said earlier that Scott McKenna's the best centre half in Scotland. If he kicks on now, Lee Cooper, it'll easily be him. He's just not really proven in Scotland, not really known in Scotland because he hasn't really played there. So, Lee Cooper, definitely one to look out for. Second one, very obvious one. Can you guess, Matthias?
Can I guess?
Who's the biggest Scottish footballer right now?
Andrew Robertson.
Bang on. So he plays left back for Liverpool, for anyone who doesn't know that. Won the Champions League 2 seasons ago and won the English Premier League this season. So he's extremely successful. We are fortunate to have a plethora of left backs at the minute who are playing well, but we won't talk about them all just now. Just Andrew Robertson. Personally, I think he's the best left back in the world. He played in Liverpool's game at the weekend and the week before, but 2-0 win against Chelsea there, he played left back, and the one before, the 4-3 win against Leeds. Will Liverpool and Andrew Robertson win the league again? Do you think, Matthias?
I think they'll be a contender, of course, together with Manchester City, Chelsea, probably. I think they can do it. Will they do it? I'm not so sure. They need another good season. But I'm sure they can.
They keep relatively good form. Thiago's an incredible signing, and so is Thiago Jota.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Thiago is, I think, one of the best signings when it comes to price, value, you know.
Incredible signing. A brilliant player, too. But a third player, you discussed players playing in Scotland from the Netherlands. I'm going to discuss a Scottish player playing in the Netherlands. A different one from last time. Do you know any Scottish players playing in the Netherlands? Or?
I don't think so, no.
There's one that plays for Feyenoord.
For Feyenoord?
Feyenoord.
Wait.
From Rotterdam. There you go.
A Scottish player for Feyenoord? Yeah. I have no idea.
Not at all.
Who?
George Johnson.
Oh, is he a youth player?
He's played, made an appearance for them, but yes, he's a youth player. He's one of their kind of prospects at the minute. looking quite good. Centre back, can play left back. He moved from Liverpool's youth academy to Feyenoord for £270,000. Was the price paid? He's made 6 appearances for Scotland under 21s and 1 appearance for Feyenoord thus far. One to keep an eye on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's like I like these connections between like the Scottish players in the Netherlands and the Dutch players in Scotland. We should like really incorporate those. Interesting players to look forward to.
Definitely.
Scotland gave me the chance for my career, but without Scotland, I mean, God knows where I would have been.
Yes, I cannot wait to play for the club.
Next up is transfers, involving Scottish players or players playing within our countries. The first one I want to talk about is an earlier mentioned Scott McKenna, who Aberdeen's captain, has played for Aberdeen for a good while. Easily the biggest asset, plays for Scotland regularly, has moved to Nottingham Forest for a record-breaking fee of £3 million for Aberdeen. I think he's going to add a lot to Nottingham Forest. I think he'll probably kick on if he stays injury-free. Mm-hmm. I think he's a player that could play in the English Premiership, but generally the way it works in England is they underestimate Scottish players. So even though he has played for Aberdeen for ages and regularly gets games for Scotland, he's not really rated by the Prem clubs, clearly. So I think Nottingham Forest have got themselves a bit of a coup. I also think £3 million is a bit of a bargain for him.
Yeah, that seems like... Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, so... yeah, wish him all the best. He's a very good centre-half. Probably he's the best Scottish centre-half. I would say, when he's fit, yeah, when he's fit, I would say he's the best Scottish centre-half we have. Is he the best in Scotland right now? Oh, well, up until now. Probably up there. He's definitely up there. The only ones that really kind of compete with him are Christopher Julian, Christoph Ayer, and this season... Goldson's been good, but he's been rubbish prior to that, so he's definitely up there. But yeah, big transfer, one to definitely keep an eye out on. The next transfer I wish to discuss is Ollie Burke, who's transferred to Sheffield United. It's a bit of a shock to all of us up here, as he's, to put it bluntly, pish. He's fast. He's very fast. But that's about it. He's one of these players. He's a bit like, you know, Dan James, who plays for Man U. He's like that. He'll do a lot of really good sprints, but not much else. He had a loan at Celtic 2 seasons ago and wasn't very good. He was more of a sub player. So the fact that he's managed to get that move is a bit of a surprise to near enough everyone. Well, he's clearly got a fantastic agent. He was a good young player. He played for Leipzig when he first came
through. Yeah, I know that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So he played. He first kind of came through at Leipzig. Then he went to West Brom, which everyone thought, what a signing, young Scottish talent. To be fair, he is only 23, but from what I've seen, he's been rubbish. He then went from West Brom to Celtic on loan, then to Alaves on loan. He scored 1 goal in 31 appearances, which for a winger striker isn't the best of returns. And now he's at Sheffield, and he started for Sheffield during the week, so I wish him all the best. But, you know, I don't think he's fantastic. He has had 12 appearances for the Scotland national team at 23. So there is clearly something about him that coaches see, and Chris Wilder's a good coach. So if there's something that Wilder likes in him to make him spend money on him and not just bring him in on loan, then hopefully he can get the best out of him. Because obviously I want him to kick on and do well because he's Scottish, and I want him to, but...
Hopefully.
Yeah, but I don't really see it happening, to be honest. He's a bit of a one-trick pony, in my opinion. All the best to him. The third and final one to talk about is David Turnbull, who moved from Motherwell to Celtic. He is a talent that I actually really highly rate. Turnbull. He came through at Motherwell 2 seasons ago again. It was incredible the season that he came through. He's 21 at the minute. But he got a chance here to Celtic in the summer of, summer before this one. However, it was revealed in his medical that he had a really bad injury that basically put him out for the whole season, so he never got a move to Celtic in the end, which was a real shame.
Oh, yeah.
However, he has finally managed to make his he's exciting. He's probably a long-term replacement he's probably the near enough immediate replacement for Scott Brown, who's nearing the end of his career as Celtic captain.
Seems to have been around forever, Scott Brown.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time. I think he'll probably, if Celtic win the 10 this year, I could see him retiring.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a good place to retire for the captain.
I mean,
He would go down, in my opinion, as one of Celtic's best ever captains. Just because of the
tenor,
treble. Yeah, he has. I rate him. I think he's a good player, and you have to respect the dedication he has towards the club and loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
But Turnbull broke through 2018-19 season, playing 30 games, 15 goals. At the age of 19, which is pretty impressive for a Motherwell team player, especially 19.
All right.
And now he's finally got his move to Celtic. I think he'll kick on, as I say. I think he'll be the replacement for Scott Brown. I hope that he hits the ground running. Hopefully the injury doesn't falter him too much. Didn't seem to do so when he was at Motherwell prior to this, after the injury. He seemed to kind of come back to his best, really. So, yeah, one to keep an eye out for. What about your transfers?
I'll start off with Sam Lammers moving from PSV to Atalanta Bergamo for about 10 million. He played the season before last season on loan at SC Heerenveen, where he played 35 games, scored 19 goals, which is quite a good return for a young striker in the Eredivisie. Before that, he spent a few seasons at Young PSV in the Kitchen Champions League. And he had a mutual agreement of signing a new contract at PSV. But then this news came through and he decided to go for his chance and leave now. And then they had to sell him quite fast because they were thinking that he was going to sign a new contract and his contract was running up at the end of the season. And to still get 10 million for him is quite good for a player that hasn't really shown his full potential yet. In exchange, they got in Eran Zahavi, who scored 260 goals in 427 games, a 33-year-old Israeli player. So let's see how he will turn out.
One thing I noticed about that transfer was the comments from Fenerbahce fans.
Yeah, so it was likely that he was going to move to Fenerbahce, Zahavi, that is. And instead he moved to PSV. Why? I honestly don't know. But the PSV social media accounts exploded with Fenerbahce supporters showing their displeasure, pretty much.
I've seen that.
It was interesting, though. Another very interesting signing that you probably be able to tell me more about was Ravel Morrison going to ADO Den Haag.
Yeah,
and I know him because of his character and people telling me about him, but I honestly have no clue what his entire his reputation, where it comes from.
He's a bit of a journeyman. He started off at Man U. Fergie called him one of the most talented players he'd ever worked with.
Mm-hmm.
Which, considering some of the players Alex Ferguson worked with, that's some pretty high praise. His attitude was poor. He was more interested in going out and arguing and just released off then, went to West Ham, I believe, after that.
Yeah, West Ham, and then he had a bunch of clubs like all around Lazio, QPR.
Yeah, he played for Lazio for a bit.
Atlas, Mexico.
He's got a poor attitude. That's his issue. He's just got a really poor attitude. I don't think it's anything to do with talent. I think he's one of these players that he has bags of talent. He just doesn't apply himself. He doesn't work hard. Mm-hmm. He's constantly in arguments. He was, seen out drinking and partying and stuff rather than, doing what footballers really should do. So if he screws the head on a bit, Adam and Haig have cooked a very talented footballer.
Well, let's hope that he can show himself there.
Chances are he won't, and he'll be released in a couple of months.
We'll have to see. Transfer that I want to quickly go out with is the transfer of Shanice van der Zande for the Dutch female national team, going from probably the best team in women's football to maybe the second or third best team in women's football. She played for Olympique Lyon, and as you might know, in women's football, that's by far the biggest team.
I'd heard that. I wouldn't have, when you said about, think who that would be, but now you've said it, I've heard that Lyon are
the biggest. Yeah, and she's on the move to VfL Wolfsburg in Germany. So let's hope that turns out for her as well, because she's a talented player and has been playing for the national team for quite a while, and she's a very recognizable character. I'm hoping the best for her. And in the following segment, we will look into the European performances of our domestic clubs. And starting off with the Netherlands, tonight, when we're recording this on the 24th of September, PSV played away in Slovenia to NS Mura, a team that most people will not be familiar with, if I'm guessing that correctly, a very unknown team in European football. In Slovenia, they're one of the bigger sides from what I've heard. They last year won the Slovenian Cup. And beforehand, the expectation of this game was a routine victory for PSV, as you, I think you're supposed to expect a routine victory from PSV in this game. In the end, that's what happened. PSV won 1-5. Away in Slovenia. Two goals from Daniel Male, two goals from Cody Gakpo, and a goal from Mauro Junior gave PSV the deserved victory. So in the end, a well-deserved victory. And the next game that PSV will play is away to Rosenborg in Norway, which last year in the Europa League group stages, they won 1-4. So going from past results, this should also be an easy victory. The other teams still in Europe are AZ, who are qualified for the Europa League group stages after getting knocked out in the Champions League. Ajax, who are qualified for the group stages of the Champions League. And Feyenoord, who are also qualified for the group stages of the Europa League already. And then on to the next team still representing the Netherlands in European football, Willem II, who as of 20 minutes ago, they played against Rangers from a familiar city called Glasgow, the Scottish representative. So it's a Scottish-Dutch battle that was being played out tonight. And well, the result,
our debate from a few weeks ago about whether Scottish or Dutch football was better.
Yeah, 4-0 to Rangers, 0-4, which was, I texted Roy in the first half, and it was 0-2 to the Rangers, and I texted him, I was like, it's a miracle that Willem II haven't scored. They had so many good opportunities. And the first goal scored by Rangers, I believe Ryan Kent took the penalty.
No, it wasn't. It was James Tavernier.
James Tavernier, yes, of course. He scored. And it was a penalty. So, I mean, there's not much to say about that. And then the 2-0 was a howler by the goalkeeper. A bouncy ball, supposed to grab it. He let it go, and it was pretty much an open net for the Rangers attacker to put it in. It's quite an easy goal. Sad for my Dutch representatives, but from what I've spoken to friends, I live in Tilburg, so where Willem II is based, and friends are already saying, I mean, it's a massive game for us. It's an unbelievable game for us. It's so sad that we don't have supporters there, but we're not expecting a victory, but anything would be cool.
Rangers typical of their form this season. Clean sheet.
Yeah, no, they did well to keep a clean sheet, and the goalkeeper had some outstanding saves.
Gregor's like a great keeper. He's not been starting this year, I think, partly due to injuries, but they also signed John McLaughlin, who's been doing a good job. They started Alan McGregor in goal, and great. The rest of the lineup was kind of as you would expect with Rangers. One notable thing was that both of your centre backs got a goal.
Yeah.
Helland on corner goals.
Corner, the last goal.
I honestly would have been surprised if Willem II got anything from it. Rangers have been in great form this season, so fair play to them. On to the other one, Scotland were quite lucky. At this stage, we had four teams still representing us. We now only have two. Rangers also been one who has made it through, and I believe play Galatasaray next.
I were already seeing because I told you, the Rangers fans are very vocal and numerous online. and so are the Turkish fans. So it's going to be a battle on Twitter. I can tell you that.
I've seen a ton of a few dicks going either way.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And it'll keep going that way.
Yes, and I'm excited for it. Like the chaos on Twitter, social media is going to be magnificent, and I'm going to, as in Dutch we say, to lick our fingers, like as in to enjoy it, to lay back. I'm going to enjoy it.
One of the other teams that were representing Scotland tonight were Aberdeen, who I think put in a good shift. In terms of performance, they only had 26% possession, but they only lost 1-0 to Sport in Lisbon, who are a better team.
Yeah, I mean,
this is a Aberdeen side without, as we discussed earlier on the podcast, Scott McKenna.
Mm-hmm.
So 1-0 was better than I thought it was going to be. Moving on to slightly worse performance in Motherwell, who lost 3-0 to Hapoel Beersheva.
Yeah, that's a disappointing result, I guess. But again, Motherwell have not performed well this season.
No, they're bottom. Victor opened the scoring for Beersheva. Motherwell got a red card off the back of Declan Gallagher. Penalty was then scored from that, and then game was wrapped up after that, really.
Mm-hmm.
Another one which is quite notable is the Celtic game. Celtic only managed a 90-minute winner against Riga.
I saw a Jeremy Frimpong assist.
It was a Mohamed El Nissi goal, Frimpong assist. The stats show that Celtic dominated 71% possession, 15 shots to Riga's 4.
I mean, as you expect, right? 2.
Yeah, but just the fact they never got one. Again, I think I mentioned before, lineup issues, not playing the right players and stuff. You know, Frimpong didn't start, neither did El Nissi. The two players had the effect at the end of the day. So that's the roundup in Scotland. We have Celtic and Rangers through to the next round. Aberdeen and Motherwell sadly put out. In the Netherlands, we have, as Matthijs ran down, AZ, Ajax, PSV all through.
Feyenoord, but they're already qualified for the group stages. I don't know why or how, but yeah, you know. It's also the European coefficient that we have that's a bit higher than the Scottish one.
Uh-huh.
Who are Celtic playing the next round, do you know?
I'm not sure. Let me just check.
Because, yeah, it's a team that you expect to beat quite easily, I'd say, going away to Riga, Latvia. But, you know.
Yeah, you would expect that.
A win is a win in the end.
Oh, exactly. That's a way to see it, really. But yeah, no. PSV, very resounding victory. Rangers, very resounding victory. Celtic, bit of a meh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't call it a resounding victory in any way, shape or form.
But I think meh is quite the appropriate sound.
Exactly. It's all we needed, though, so. Just to clarify on the last section, Celtic will play Sarajevo in the next round from Bosnia. Section is the national teams. However, there's been no national team action, so there's very little to talk about in the Scotland camp. In fact, I've got nothing to say. So we're going to pass over to Matthijs, so that's some big news from the Netherlands.
Well, I have something to say for sure. We have a new coach, Frank de Boer. The name might ring a bell to people all over the world, especially here in the Netherlands. He's a well-known guy. He's been doing a lot of different jobs around the world as of late. He's had his main success as manager of Ajax, where he won 4 leagues in a row and then lost one the 5th season on the final day away at De Graafschap dramatically by drawing and handing the title over to PSV on the last game day. It was quite an emphatic, a crazy end of the season where everyone expected them to get their 5th straight title, which would have been a record to get 5 titles in a row. 4 is the record in the Netherlands, and PSV have done it twice. Ajax have done it once, which was this period. So that getting this record is like getting the 10 in a row in Scotland, pretty much. So it would have been massive. And after that, Frank de Boer moved to Internationale, I believe, where he lasted 3 months. Then he moved to Crystal Palace, where he lasted 5 games, I believe, losing all of them and scoring 1 goal in a cup, which was voted goal of the goal of the month that month, which was the only goal of that month. So, you know, great performances by the boys. He got sacked after 5 games and went to Atlanta United in the States, in the MLS. Did relatively well in his first season after they won the MLS the season before. I think he lost in the semi-final or the final of the playoffs in the MLS. I'm not 100% sure, and it's a weird system anyway. So, I mean, I'm not going to delve deep into that. And then, I don't know if you know, but the MLS had this MLS is Back tournament. And here, he pretty much lost all of his games, and then they just sacked him. So, last 3 jobs he had, he's been sacked. Formerly as a football player, played at Ajax and Barcelona, to name a few. Won pretty much everything there is to win, except for a World Cup, which, yeah, that still hurts. Yeah, and now he's been unveiled as the replacement of Ronald Koeman.
Hopefully and hangs about for a bit longer.
Yeah, hopefully. But on the other hand, the support that he's gotten, the receivement of it online by Dutch fans, Dutch people in general, hasn't been overwhelmingly positive. He's not known for his attractive football. In the years at Ajax, he got the jobs done, not in a very pretty way. He took them to 4 league titles in a row. But if you look at the stats, it wasn't the best seasons they've ever had. It's just that everyone else also underperformed. So they were the best, so still crowned champions. And the seasons past, they wouldn't have won the league with the amount of points they had before. But it's his style of play. It's quite defensive. It's quite like they lean back. They look for the overlap and the counter when they can, and they try to score quick goals and pounce on mistakes that the other team makes. And this system is probably going to be implemented in the Netherlands now as well for the Dutch national team. Many supporters and many Dutch people feel like it wasn't the right appointment to make. But also on the other hand, there hasn't been a lot of available managers as of late. So it was one of the expected and most likely options to be appointed as head coach for the Netherlands. For now, when Koeman was announced, there wasn't a great reception either. But I think it's also the nature of us Dutch people. We're not the most jolly positive people on earth. So I guess that also has to do with it. Everyone deserves a chance. So does he. We've been growing and building upon some good recent performances. Last game against Italy was a disappointing result, of course. But yeah, it's been a long while since we've been the team that hasn't made a European Cup or a World Cup. Like, there's been a lot of growth. There's a lot of exciting young talent breaking through now. So let's hope he'll get the best out of each and every one of them. And I mean, whenever we're at a tournament, we always think we're going to win it. So, you know, positivity is only there when the tournaments are happening here. It's, like I said, the nature of us Dutch people.
It sounds interesting. I'm hoping the best for him, but hopefully it doesn't throw your recent form out the window.
Well, let's hope he doesn't. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see, and let's just wish the man the best of luck. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We really hope you enjoyed it.
We'll be releasing a similar podcast each Thursday. We aim for 2 p.m. However, Thursday's like yesterday, which is when this will be released. We couldn't do 2 p.m. We're terrible, we know. The general ones, I know we said each week at 2 p.m. We're going to make them bi-weekly, just so we have lots of news to kind of get through and fill it up properly. So next week, we will have one at Monday, 2 o'clock. And then the following week go on, but the week after that we will.
Exactly.
I think I've got that right there. Eh? Look at me.
Smashed it.
Until then, goodbye.
And do it for me.